Today's episode is brought to you by Radcasters Podcasting School. If you've ever thought about starting a podcast, but perhaps you don't think you have enough time, you think you have to spend a whole lot of money on expensive gear, or you're a bit scared, or you don't think you have enough time, then I've got a bit of something that I've put together for you. Through my teaching and mentoring in Radcasters Podcasting School, helping people get their show live in iTunes, I've come to discover that there's four key things or four key hurdles that people put up between them and the clear path to podcast success. And I've created a four-part video series which covers them all and what you can do about them. So if you're interested, head on over to Radcasters and sign up for our newsletter, and I'll see you in your inbox. Today's interview is with Crystal Brown from the Holistic Project and Positive Peeps. And I met Crystal. She's a fellow B-schooler. I think I met her the first time at one of our meetups. And then I went to one of her events for the Holistic Project. It was actually their first or second event. I think it was their first event. And it was amazing, mind-blowing. She is a really lovely, lovely person, heart of gold, gentle, nurturing, just lovely. And I guess what I discovered in this conversation was the power of asking, and also, you know, how we're all just here, in Crystal's own words, to help each other out. And when we really come from that space and we drop all the rest of the bullshit, then, you know, real magic can happen. So I'm really excited to bring this interview to you. I think you're going to love it. This is Crystal Brown. Welcome to Carlosophy's Stories Behind Success. I'm Carly Nimmo. It's so easy to fall into comparisonitis as an entrepreneur, and it can be paralyzing. In my own journey, I've come to understand that regardless of your level of success, fame, or fortune, we're all suffering from the same stories of fear, struggle, and failure. So let's talk about it.
Really fortunate and grateful to have led a really blessed life to date. So that said, I guess my life has been a series of challenges and joys, but I haven't really had like one epic fail or, you know, any major losses so far. And, you know, I'm certainly a very humble student of life though, and I'm certainly very much on the journey of personal development and working out in life how I can always improve and contribute more. I've always had a really strong sense of optimism and creativity, creative expression and social justice, and I've always been really ambitious. I've struggled with that a lot, and I guess that stems from my really strong cultural and entrepreneurial roots. And I guess from a cultural perspective, I have a very multicultural background. So on one side, I have Lebanese and Irish. On the other side, I have Nevan, which is Australian South Sea Islander, and Ukrainian. So I guess what I really identify with is my Australian South Sea Islander heritage really highly. Just a little bit of background about that, just so you can see perhaps where I feel, you know, I give my best and where I would like to give more is in the late 1800s, my great-grandfather was blackbirded from an island called Tanna off Vanuatu, and he was brought out here with tens of thousands of other South Sea Islanders and Melanesians and Polynesians and Pacific Islanders to work in the cane fields of North Queensland and establish the sugarcane industry up there. So they were all blackbirded, which is basically another term for being stolen from your homeland. And they came out here and they established families and they had children, et cetera. And then when the White Australia policy came in the early 1900s, they were basically told, go back home, you're not needed anymore. So a lot of them had already had roots here. My great-great-grandfather and his brother managed to run away and they escaped. They basically refused to be sent home and they ran pretty much, traveled along the coastline all the way down, just eating like, you know, crabs and feeding off the land and the sea, and they landed in the Byron Shire. So our family had really hard, strong, hardworking cultural roots from, you know, several generations ago around that area. So I really resonate with my heritage and the arts and the culture of the people. And I took my husband over to Vanuatu, my now husband, like meaning I've only been married once. I just wasn't married to him then. I took him over to Vanuatu and we did go over to Tanna, and it was just this overwhelming sense of healing for me to be at this place where it was almost like a coming home, you know. My great-great-grandfather, he couldn't go home and see his family, and a lot of my family members, they've never been over. So going over there was incredibly healing for me. The way I can describe the island of Tanna is very much like Avatar. It's kind of like these beautiful big bunya trees with roots the size of football fields and, you know, fresh produce just dripping from trees, and it's almost Garden of Eden-esque. And, you know, the natives there don't wear shoes, so their feet are round and flat, and they're so happy and warm and genuine. And it was just so moving to be accepted and part of that culture for our stay there. And one particular experience I did have was a woman walked up to me, and she was a worker at where we were staying, and she just walked up and she grabbed my face in her hands and she just looked at me and said, "You Tanna woman." And it was just this moment of like complete, you are me and I am you and we're one in the same, and nothing else mattered, and everything just melted away. And that was second to my birth experiences. That was probably the most profound moment of my life to date. And looking back now, what that says to me is that my whole purpose here is to create a platform where I can contribute, and linking it to my purpose, the way in which I want to be able to do that is to use my creative endeavors, or my business endeavors, to be able to give back in a financial way, but also in a way which can help benefit people of the island of Tanna and Vanuatu. So I guess, yeah, I just gave that little bit of background because that's essentially the reason behind, that's my why, that's why I do what I do. And also because I'm extremely creative and I love creating and I love helping and giving. And in return, I love being healed by that process. On my dad's side, I have a really, really entrepreneurial grandfather. And we've talked about this before because I've been privileged to interview you before. And you talked about how you were the entrepreneurial kid at school and growing up. And I was very much the same. And when I was reading your answers to this blog post, I was like, you are me. Like, I am you. Like, yeah, there's another one out there. And, you know, since then I've found there's plenty of us out there, and sharing those stories just sort of like is just so brilliant. So yeah, my grandfather was this solicitor and philosopher, incredible man. He was also a property developer that gave away a lot of land to build schools and community centres and sports fields. Very, very generous man. And he really taught us how to fully enjoy life and give for the pure joy of it, without expecting anything in return. He passed away last year, and I miss him absolutely dearly. We were very, very close. And when I had worries in my early career, he and my gran, they were the ones that I'd always turn to. Their door was always open. And because we had this kind of silent understanding about, you know, the kind of depths of life without even communicating it, he just got me and I got him. He wrote a mantra which I still have in every diary I own, and I still have it up on my wall, and it's there to remind myself often. And it goes, "Don't waste all of your youth on the future. Reserve a little each day for your own indulgence. The future is always that, but youth is finite to be enjoyed before it is lost." That, to me, now that he's gone, it's just even more impactful because as a mum, I really do every day indulge in my inner child. I get down on the level of my daughters. I'm fully present in each moment I have with them, because I absolutely love playing and I love what they give to me. And in a way, it's the one of the ways that I connect to source is just, you know, indulging in my inner child. And it's not only that, it's just a way that I can also connect to him when he's not here anymore. He was also a really huge supporter of my poetry. And from an early age, I had a real aptitude for poetry and written expression. And I guess this brings me to the basis of my chosen career, which was and still is writing. The earliest I can remember is as a 7-year-old, and I used to ask my brother and my mum and dad, hit me with the topic, I want to write a poem about it. And this was like all the time, and I just loved it. I just frothed at the chance to be able to write a poem about next to nothing and to be able to then share it. And it was this expressing myself even as a young child in seeing or feeling the reactions of an audience, which really moved me. This one poem I wrote in year two, it was called Hats, 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 and it was the first written publication I had. So it was basically published in the school newsletter. And it just went from there. So every Christmas and birthday and engagement and wedding, I was the cousin and the daughter and the sister that read her poem. And to this day, to a lesser extent, I still do. And most recently at my grandfather's funeral was a tribute to him. Looking back at school, I was really stuck with what I wanted to do, as, you know, a lot of teenagers are. Other than being a getaway reporter, which most, I don't know, teenage girls from the 90s and early 2000s kind of wanted to be. and after a traineeship at a law firm, which just did not serve me in any way, it just wasn't for me, and I decided that I wanted to pursue that path of that creative expression, looking back to what had been a constant in my life, and that was writing. And so I'd always wanted to be a travel writer, or combine my love of travel and writing with a career path. So I wanted to write a magazine, and I wanted to travel and write. So I did a uni degree in creative writing and media, and this was awesome. It opened up the door for me to travel and study over in the UK at the Uni of Hertfordshire over there, where I studied English literature and film adaptation, and allowed me to really, as a 21-year-old, you know, like being able to place my feet in so many different places and glean the experiences that I wasn't consciously setting out to achieve, but just was a byproduct of that experience of studying, living on campus and, you know, food and culture and traveling on my own. And yeah, there's no way I'd do half the stuff that I did then now, and I don't want my daughters to either, but you know, that's hindsight, isn't it?
For sure.
So I came home, and I didn't want to come home, but I had to, because the way that the uni degree was structured, I needed to finish it in Australia. So I came home, but I just came home with this intense, like, fire in the belly to really be successful in a career in magazine publishing or in writing in some way. So, you know, I did all the work experience at all the magazines, Dolly Mag, local mags, Byron Shire News. and then from that, I just wasn't willing to say no. And I was very adamant that regardless of my relationship that I was in at the time with my now husband, and he'd kept traveling, I just thought, you know, I've got to do this for myself. So I moved to Sydney, and I worked in niche publishing houses down in Sydney at different magazines as an editorial assistant in craft and wedding magazines to start with. And then Matters of the Heart brought me back home, and I worked around this area, so around the Gold Coast, on lifestyle magazines and property publications. And then I landed a job in features writing for a newspaper, and then worked my way up to deputy editor of that. And that was pretty early, you know, I was like still 23, 24 when that happened. And I had an opportunity to leave and to go down the corporate communications path, or the spin doctoring path. So I did that, and I worked in the Queensland government for 5-6 years in media liaison roles with a few different departments within a ministerial office as well. And every job that I had, I was chasing this dream of, you know, putting myself out there to get my work out there creatively, but I just felt so stifled by my environment all the time. And I know you've spoken about this on your previous podcast as well, that you just don't fit the box. And I was trying so hard, and it was at the expense of my creativity, and also of me, you know, really expressing myself the way that I felt I was born to express myself. So, yeah, I basically had this idea whilst I was working there, and I went to bed with it every night, and I woke up with it, and it was this niggle, and it was this best friend, and it was this enemy, and I was like, shut up already, I need to suppress you because, you know, I'm making my really good money, you know, I'm doing my whole corporate thing, I'm going to the city every day, and I've got my little social scene around that, and that felt right because it was enough and it was safe and there was no risk attached to it. And I didn't have to put myself out there. I just had to go do my job, which I became quite well versed at in the end. And then, yeah, this little idea kept popping up for me. What it was this an online store that was the manifestation of the idea, which was essentially a space where people could come and glean inspiration from motivational or inspirational books or meditation music or affirmation cards in order to just allow it to be a tool to put in their toolkit of their other forms of employments of self-motivation or whatever else they needed to use to give them that little bit of a nudge to get to wherever they wanted to be in life or to heal or to just feel like they were supported by something beyond themselves. So I started writing the blog for that, and I couldn't shake it, and I couldn't get it off the ground, and it seemed like it would be too hard basket, and I didn't have time, and I was always busy, so I just put it to the wayside. And then it wasn't until the birth of my first daughter, Tana, who is, you know, my absolute soulmate, that I also decided to birth this project at the same time, as we do, because, you know, multitaskers, crazy multitaskers, us yeah. women.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had no control over it. It came. And so I had this baby who was premature and had reflux, and I also had this idea, and I'm trying to push this and I'm trying to push this. And it, you know, I ended up getting some postnatal anxiety because I felt like I didn't fit the mold of the natural earth mother that I so wanted to be.
Yeah.
Having, you know, done the calm birthing and the empowered birthing and you know, natural and home after the first day, and I thought, I've got this, I'm superwoman. But it didn't quite happen like that for me. I do recall still like sitting in the fetal position in the kitchen and my husband walking in and going, what's going on? Like, why is the baby crying? And why isn't dinner on? And like, and him not getting it and me not getting it and feeling so helpless. At the start, and also feeling like so ambitious, but just really struggling with this dichotomy between wanting to be a really nurturing mum and yeah. expectations of that actually happening naturally, and then also being this, you know, really ambitious entrepreneurial woman that's just left her career and her singledom and her identity as she knew it, and trying to make that all fit, and it just didn't fit. What ended up happening was my husband got a posting with flood recovery work. So we packed up and we traveled for a year with that. And so that was for Tana's first year into 18 months of her life. And while I was away, it provided this beautiful space for me just to walk along the, you know, the beaches of beautiful North Queensland every day and have coffees and have this baby that turned out to be a really rad little buddy, you know, the best friend I never had. Mm-hmm. And it allowed this space naturally to for positive peeps to come into fruition. So that was just a little project on the side, and I was taking orders here, there and everywhere, and moved back home to the Byron Shire, fell pregnant again, eventually moved back to Brisbane to have my second daughter, Florence. And I guess with the whole positive peeps thing, I guess that stems from this urge or this wanting to help people through my writing. So again, using that as a platform or a tool to help express myself, to help people. I really struggled at this stage with not having a credential per se in, you know, no life coaching, and I wasn't, you know, a student of psychology, and I really, really struggled with identity and belonging of wanting to be attached to something beyond, you know, my uni degree or, you know, as an editor or whatever. You know, I really felt at that time it's really important to label myself something, and because I didn't really have a label, then I wasn't worthy enough to help people. And it just seems such a crazy concept now, but I had to do a lot of work on it. I had to do a lot of work on myself. And I just started venturing into intuitive massage and Reiki, and I started looking at kinesiology, and I started just immersing myself, crystal healing, and it was all stuff I already loved and I knew about on a really basic level, but just started to delve into it, you know, Qigong yoga and really connecting to source. I've always been a pretty intuitive person and really always connected to the ocean growing up by the sea, and allowed that to be my little, you know, haptic space where I felt fully alive and connected and at my best. And I just really just felt like I needed this to overcome all the self-doubt in myself that, you know, all I was doing was selling products that I'd reviewed, you know, Hay House titles and meditation music and stuff I loved. And little did I know at the time that people would buy it because I loved it.
Yeah.
And that wasn't enough for me though, you
Isn't
know?
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? I just interrupt you here because I actually had this moment this morning where, you know, I have Radcasters and I've been doing my podcast for a while now. And I had this moment this morning where my I sent out an email newsletter and somebody unsubscribed. And then they sent an email saying, please don't email me anymore. Like, cause what had happened was she'd unsubscribed, but in the time between when she unsubscribed and, like an email had actually been sent out just before, and then her server delivered it to her email, but she had thought she already had unsubscribed. So she was a bit pissed off. But the funny thing was when we, actually followed up with her to see, you know, just to follow up and see, okay, well, really sorry about that. I've got to look into this and make sure that, you know, there's not something wrong with our systems, because that's not definitely not something that I don't want to be emailing you if you've unsubscribed from my list. It's not what I'm about. And anyway, long story short, my online business manager gave her a call. What had actually happened was she had been on one of my webinars and she absolutely loved it. And so she signed up, you know, for the list when she jumped on the webinar. And so I had been sending her these emails, but from Radcasters, not from Carly Nimmo.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it was so interesting because I had created Radcasters as its own entity because I felt like I wasn't enough to bring the message.
You know?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it's just so interesting because I think sometimes we think we need something more like removed from us when really people want us.
Mm-hmm. They so do. And I think we need to want us as well.
Yeah.
You know, we need to see the value in our self-truths, and that this stuff comes to us. It gets channeled to us from wherever, from source, God, innately, whatever you want to believe it to be, you know, hitting you from whatever angle. It's with us for a sincere and definite reason, and it's there for us to pursue. And if we don't pursue it, like this niggle that I had, and perhaps the niggles that you've had throughout your career as well, it's like that monkey on your back. If you can't get it off, then what would you prefer? Would you prefer to live your life regretting not knowing what it was like, or would you prefer to have a go? And hey, if you fail, it doesn't matter because you've given it a go, you've birthed something. And yeah, I think I completely understand where you're coming from, because I think that you know, at the end of the day, I just went a roundabout way to get to what I already knew, which was like, I'm the master of my own intuition, you know, and that's enough for me. Right now, I can't say that I don't want to go off and you know, invest in myself in other areas, because an investment in yourself is hands down the best investment. And I do believe that, you know, I will keep studying. I'm a studious person and I will start to look at other things. But for right now, all I need to know, and for back then, what I'd love to tell her is that you are enough right there and right then. You are enough. Everything you need is already with you. And it's funny, you know, when we talk about affirmations, because affirmations have a lot to do with the business that I'm in at the moment, both of my businesses. But when I was thinking about my story, I realized I have a really early affinity with affirmations, and that is from my upbringing and my mum specifically. You know, we used to get in bed as 10, 11-year-olds with her in the morning and wake up, make her a cup of tea, and she'd open up her little book called Meditations for Women Who Do Too Much, and it's this little bedside book which has got an affirmation a day. It's by a beautiful affirmational author called Ann Wilson Schaaf. And she's a psychologist as well. Anyway, that for me was basically the start of how affirmations would journey with me and would almost save me at different times in my life without me even realizing it. That coupled with the fact that my mum and dad were always people that said, dream big. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. And, you know, I look at that pretty realistically now and go, well, you know, thanks for the uplift, but there are things that, you know, have limits. but I'm still a massive dreamer, and I really believe that we can manifest what we set out to achieve, you know, we're on our own. But, you know, why not bring the tribe with you? Why not get the support of people, products, you know, other modalities, like I'm talking about healing modalities, books, whatever it is that you can get your hands on to invest in yourself. It doesn't even have to be an exchange of money. It can just be an energy exchange or a whatever you have to give exchange. Yeah, and yeah, so for me, affirmations are a really big part of what I do now. I've always loved helping people, and I've always loved finding solutions or tried to find solutions. You know, like we just talked about before, entrepreneurial at school. It was also like on the SRC every year and the school captain, and I was the state emergency service cadet and the rescue helicopter, you know, volunteer coordinator for several years and those kinds of things. And, yeah. You know, looking back, those are like mini leadership roles that have really helped to identify the role that I want to lead in being able to create a forum and a platform to use my skills and my voice to help others. So I guess that comes to where I'm at now.
Yeah.
Which is in partnership with one of my oldest and dearest friends. Her name is Helena, and we have a business called The Holistic Project. And we've been around for about 18 months now, and Positive Peep still exists. And it's just taken a back seat to this, which is our real purpose project at the moment, because everything about it is about uplifting and inspiring people. It's just manifested itself in the way of creating events. And we are not event planners. It's not in our kind of repertoire. We kind of started this from just an idea that we were really struggling in our corporate careers, that there was a real lack of appreciation or of kind of weight put upon professional development that was sustainable for the employee and that would help them to continue to want to work harder and be better and be healthier and be happier and feel incentivized and cared for in their working environments, which would then flow over into their family environment. And we felt really stifled by the fact that every professional development seminar or whatever, it might have been a clown doctor or the 10 tenors or, you know, businesses with big budgets, but they would just slap something together at the end of the financial year so that they could secure the budget for the next year. So Helena and I just started Positive Peeps, and I was doing that from being away, and she had started her event design and styling business. And we used to have these zany, you know, big dreaming idea conversations, you know, every couple of days. And on the back end of one of them, we're like, why can't we be the people that put together, you know, just to cater to this lack or this gap in the market? We weren't working corporately at the time, but we just felt that there was a really big gap and we wanted to cater to it. So that was the original idea for the Holistic Project. It was to actually work in corporate wellness and to bring about this model that we had created, which was sort of a triangle, like a sacred geometric triangle, to bring about education, celebration, and reward. And yeah, we sort of thought, all right, let's get all this together. And then we did a launch of it publicly and a ticketed event called The Whole You. And it had, again, three elements, and it was about sort of mindfulness, and it was about health and nutrition, and it was about celebration. And we had, you know, an amazing nutritionist and whole food cook, and we had the incredible Michelle Merrifield, which is one of our, you know, biggest mentors now, who's a yogi and an entrepreneur. And we also had Jazzy Smith, who's just the coolest musician in the world. Yeah. That was brilliant. It was this beautiful event that we started with, and we thought, let's keep doing this. That just worked. And it made us feel alive, and people liked it, and let's keep going. So, you know, in the course of 15 months, we had seven events under our belts, and some, you know, some really profound events, and some which were challenging, and which were definitely our biggest teachers for us to be able to keep going and to make this a viable business. But also what we found on the journey is we've been able to allow it to take us individually and as business partners to places that we never thought possible. And that is a real internal barometer to, you know, our own self-healing and our own freedom of expression and freedom of choice and our own uplifting in consciousness and into the people that we were born to be. And I guess that brings us to our signature event, which is called Pursue Your Passion.
Yeah, which I went to.
So, yeah, you did.
And I absolutely loved it. It was actually one of my favorite events of all time. I thought it was so well, like, designed and laid out, and everything went so smoothly, and you had such awesome speakers. And, I mean, you had Shelley Craft as an MC, like, hello. Like, it was just like the most amazing event ever. And I just, I remember I didn't want to leave, you know, I just wanted to stay there and, you know, and then I wanted champagne flowing, and, you know, but I had to go.
And we were the same.
Yeah, because I think, like, I was, Mabel was quite little then, or maybe, I don't know, maybe, when was it? September?
It was February in 2015.
Right, so she must have just been turning one.
Yeah.
And so I was still, you know, very much attached to Mabel. So going away for a whole day was a big deal for me at that point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I remember I had to jump in the car and rush off, but I just didn't want to. Every part of me was going, stay.
Likewise, I had to consider the bra that I was wearing because Chloe was like 8 weeks old and over the course of the day, you know, I was getting bigger and bigger and I was like, the breast pump is not coming out. We are like, we are not only coordinating this, but like we're running the show and it just can't. So, you know, total hashtag mum life moments there.
But
that's really sweet of you to say, and, you know, like, kind of purpose and perspective, like always wanting to have this childhood dream of being a getaway reporter. I idolized Shelley Craft, so to have her there was just like, I could die and go to heaven right now. Like, it was just enough for me to say done. But
And she's really cool. She was so cool.
The baddest chick, isn't she?
Yeah,
she's really down to earth, and what you see is what you get. And she's a soulful woman. Like she's just beautiful. She's got an amazing aura about her. And, you know, you were there and you would have seen her moment, her epiphany that she had on stage. And for her to have that moment and then to actively pursue that herself.
Yeah. And for her to verbalize it. I mean, that must have been huge for her. Here she is, someone that everybody in that audience knows, you know, at a celebrity level. To see her living what would be considered most people's absolute dream, and to be, I know there's something more for me.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
It was so incredibly, I've covered in goosebumps. Like, it was just so incredibly inspiring. I loved that she went there because it was really vulnerable for her to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no.
And then to go on and, you know, actually see through what she had spoken about was, like, legendary.
Yes. Huge, and, you know, really big for us, and it's, you know, that for me is one of the truest definitions of success personally now. I think for so long and growing up, and society tells us that success has to equate to money and to levels of, you know, higher status and celebrity or fame or whatever. And it's not. It's for me and for us with our business, it's all about how we can give to people in a way that our unique selves can deliver for them to interpret it however they want to, but for it to be this beacon for them to rise up out of, you know, their normal lives or their normal everydays and to apply some of the insights that we're facilitating onto their own lives so that they can have, you know, the impetus to then push through and do something that they've always wanted to do or that's inside of them. I really think we already have whatever it is that we want to do or what we need inside of us. It's just sometimes, like, you know, saying just that little nudge can often be, you know, the greatest navigator to getting to where it is that, you know, we're destined to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are, you know, we are enough. We do have all the tools. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, I think I speak about this quite often, is that self-doubt, you know, the comparisonitis, all that kind of jazz keeps us away from really just being who we are. And who we are is perfectly perfect.
It is. We are definitely enough. And, yeah, I think it's, you know, the more that you tell yourself that, the more that it does creep in, and you don't need to seek validation from external factors. You don't need to be looking to someone else or something else. It is already within us, and it's just about constantly reminding ourselves how delicious we are in so many ways.
Mm. And I think when, you know, having had Mabel, there's those moments where I'm putting her to sleep at night and she's just falling asleep in my arms and I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, what a fucking miracle. And then it's like, but she is me. So therefore her perfection is my perfection. I'm a miracle too, you know. And I think we often will put other people, whether it's a child or whether it's someone like Shelley Craft or whoever it is, on a pedestal so that they're actually removed from what we already are, you know. It's like creating this distance between who we actually are and who somebody else is when we're really...
Absolutely. There's no separation between you and I, and I think the sooner we come to realize that, the more easy and blissful our life can actually be. How open and receptive can we be to others, and can others be to us when we see each other at the same level and communicate our needs effectively and resolve conflict effectively and work towards common goals instead of creating, yeah, this separation between you live your life over here and I live my life over here. And really, if we just all come and work together, you know, we can start to all evolve that, you know, global connected consciousness. And I think that that's where we're going, essentially. But, yeah, it's not without, you know, the battles of the head. And, I think when we drop down to that heart level and we're all on the same page, yeah, we can definitely make magic happen.
For sure. You know, with your events that you've been doing, the speakers that you have been getting have been, like, out of this world amazing. So I have this question for you, because it's like, one, you're either extremely connected or two, you just ask. So which is it?
It's definitely number two. Helena and I come from very humble backgrounds. We are not well connected in the sense that you ring up Shelley Craft and say, hey babe, do you want to come and like hang at our event? We actually do a lot energetically. So Helena and I are both quite intuitive, and we feel into what we think that our target audience is going to best receive, how they're best going to receive that message, who is it going to come from. So we essentially conceptualize everything from the very start. You know, it's not like we go, let's choose that person, and if they say no, let's get that person. You know, we're not actually that strategic. It's just who we feel we really want to work with. And, you know, it is, like you say, it is just about asking. And 9 times out of 10, or basically for us, 9.5 times out of 10, people are so ecstatic, and regardless of their level, I guess, of consciousness around, you know, celebrity or you know, status on, you know, social media or whatever it is, where they're at on their journeys, they're very receptive and they're very open to talking about our mission and our objectives for each event. And we've just been incredibly blessed that we live in the area we do, where we've chosen to base our events from Brisbane down to Byron, because as you know, the wealth of talent and knowledge and expertise and insight and incredibly beautiful hearts in that area is just profound. So it's almost for us, we feel completely grateful, and it's like we are totally spun out when there's someone that we idolize and we ask to be part of this event in helping deliver their messages via our platform to people that we feel would need it. It's incredibly humbling when they say yes, and then it's a resounding, what can I do to help? Like, Helena and I are a two-man show. We outsource nothing. We do everything ourselves. We built our website ourselves. We do all our social media ourselves. We do all our marketing and media and advertising on no budget. The only thing we outsource is our design, because, you know, like, it's got to look good. It's got to be catchy. And you know, we come up with the ideas around the key messages, and we help the speakers out with their speech notes. It's just, I think that when you have a reason, and when you see the big picture, and when you're all about really wanting to affect positive change in other people's lives, people come on board and opportunities present themselves. And it has been that ripple effect for us. One thing we absolutely love doing is helping other people succeed and promoting other people and brands that we align with energetically and from our philosophy, which is all about life creates the opportunity to give back and to contribute. And if we are so privileged to have the opportunity to live happy, healthy lives, then let's use our voices and our skills in order to help as many people as we possibly can through this model. So yeah, it's just about asking, and when you ask once, it becomes easier as you go along, and people start to see what we're doing and they really like it, and then they'll tell their other friends or they'll tell their sponsors, or you know, we start to really get on board with brands that, you know, why kill two birds with one, you know, why not kill two birds with one stone? We already have the same audiences, so let's just start promoting your stuff to ours and our stuff to yours. And collaboration is so key. It really is an energetic exchange of all wanting to support each other and all essentially having the same objective. So, you know, like, yeah, just ask.
Yeah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I just have to give you props there, because when I watched you doing Pursue Your Passion, I mean, you guys were everywhere, and you weren't afraid to be seen, you know, and I really thought that was very brave and inspiring. So props to you.
Thank you. Yeah, at our most recent event, Pursue Your Passion for Mums, down at Osteria.
Yeah, I know. I really wanted to go to that.
I know.
But
I would have loved to have seen you. Oh, gosh. Well, we would have liked to have been there too. We have been approached to take it to Bali, actually. So, awesome. Hey, might be there. Yeah, we actually decided to own it ourselves and to step into our power a little bit, just because, you know, like anyone in business, like when you be the face of your business and you show yourself, people are so responsive to that, and people really want to know that, you know, the ones behind the empowerment that they perhaps might be able to feel. And so we did, we stepped up and we gave just a little explanation about who we are and why we do what we do, that concept of that event, which Helena and I are very passionate about, you know, mothers pursuing their passions and the struggles that we all experience along the way. And it felt amazing to be able to show up fully and to not hide behind our phones or our emails or our computers. So it was really nice.
Time to kick up your feet and relax. It's on the couch.
Biggest fear?
my biggest fear is not doing enough, not being enough. It comes up a lot for me, and it comes from, I think, a place of always wanting to achieve and not really stopping to recognize how far that I've come and really acknowledging that it's awesome. It's an awesome place. You know, who wrote the rule book really on how something should look or how things should be or, you know, what life timelines we need to have things done by? Because I don't know anyone that's got it right so far.
And even if they had, they probably think they haven't too. So
true, yeah. Even if they say that they have got it right secretly, there's a lot that isn't working for them.
Yeah.
But, you know, what grounds me with this fear is, yeah, looking at my daughters and thinking, okay, are they okay? Are they happy? Are they healthy? Yes, they totally are. And I did that. Like you just saying about Mabel, like her beauty and her perfection is a reflection of us. And it's just about accepting that and not dwelling on it and anything other than that. And so, yeah, I look to them daily, like the same as you. When I put Tanner to sleep, sometimes I sit there and I go to sleep.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know what, I'm okay to spend 5 more minutes singing her this song and drawing butterflies on her back. Because in doing that, I'm contributing something that I probably won't be able to contribute for the rest of, you know, her life,
yeah,
obviously.
I know. That just makes me really sad.
But yeah.
That's what I constantly remind myself. And the funny thing is when we do that, when we stop going, for fuck's sake, go to sleep, and we're just like, okay, well, I'm just going to sit here for as long as it takes. Bam. Yeah. They fall asleep straight away because we've lost that attachment to needing to, you know. They pick up on that frustration.
Totally.
And the,
It's like I was saying before, you know, like, you know, being like stay-at-home entrepreneurs and with your kids working at your feet most of the time or like putting them to bed at a certain time so you can get a Skype meeting done or you can get something written or whatever. It's like sometimes when you're at that point where you just need to get something done and there's a deadline, sometimes they just blissfully go off to sleep for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And it's, wow, we are connected when we just let go of the frustration and the desperation around our children being burdens and we just look at them going, I wanted this, I accepted this, I love this, they are part of me and they're part of the makeup of my home, my business, my life. So just let it go.
Yeah.
And they let it go, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, just I was just remembering that first year. And Mabel, like, she was a terrible sleeper. And often I was in a panic because it was like, I've got work to do. You have to go to sleep. And the funny thing was when I was doing something, like I had a podcast interview booked, you know, or whatever it was, if it was something like that that brought me joy, she would go to sleep. But when it was something related to my voiceover agency that I was feeling like obligation and, you know, a bit of resentment maybe, then she wouldn't go to sleep because, and it still happens now, when I get into that space where I'm like, I need to get this done, you know, then she's there reminding me, but do you really, you know, is this
Beautiful.
Really important?
Yeah.
So, yeah. They're,
what a barometer as to what your priorities are. You know, she's your teacher.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Love it.
Okay, so biggest struggle, what are you struggling with at the moment?
Oh, my number one struggle has for the past 4 years since becoming a mother been creating balance between being a nurturing mother and a soul-based entrepreneur, because this is the decision that I've made to leave what I've known career-wise behind and to back myself and to birth the stuff that comes up for me creatively and to get it out into a space that it can help people. And my other conscious choice is becoming a mother, and it's to be a damn good one. Like, I don't want to just sit by and let them just live. Like, I want to meet them there. And so, yeah, it's what I've decided, you know, recently, and it's a real conscious decision because I have had a breakdown recently because it just all got too much. It was with the recent new moon, but, you know, it just did get too much, and it was years and years and layers of expectation and of, you know, roles and responsibilities, and it was mainly the weight that I placed on myself. Really, I tried to put the weight of, you know, expectations on other people, but really it was about me feeling like I had to be more and I had to do more and I had to achieve more, and when really I'm just great the way I am. But instead of being silenced by the struggle of creating balance and this, you know, constant juggle, I want to speak to it, and that's part of my mission, to help empower others. And in doing so, I know that I will heal myself, and it'll never be a place that I arrive at. And I never want my work in helping others to be a place where, oh, I'm done, I'm dusted, that's it, clean my hands, move on to the next thing. It's always about the journey, and it's about how can I value add, and in value adding to other people's experiences and their lives, and to help create positive change, I guess that ripple effect from people into community, into the global consciousness, then I am also helping myself to learn, to grow, evolve on that path of soul purpose, which is what we're all here for. I'm constantly evolving. I don't have the formula right. Some days I can get the 3 loads of washing done, and I can get the slow cooker on by 10, and you know, I'll have the kids sleep well, and I might be able to go to 3 yoga sessions a week. But it's like once every 3 months that might occur. And so then it's just being open to consciously shift your perspective on what you feel is right and what's actually just okay, and what you can manage yourself. Yeah, that's pretty much my biggest struggle.
Yeah. Okay, so what about failure? Now, before you said you had – you really, like, I mean, you know my story. I have plenty of failure in it. and it has defined me. A lot of the time I've allowed it to define me. So, you know, my whole thing recently is this idea of defining these things. So society kind of deems what is failure. Society deems what is success. And, or maybe not even society, it might be what you learnt from your parents is success, or what you learnt from your teachers, you know, what is good, what is bad. Like, these are all learned things. What happiness is, how does happiness feel to you? You know, like, so I'm really, this last year, I guess, has been about me defining these things for myself. Yeah. What, you know, figuring out what joy is to me and what brings me joy, so that I can define it myself, figuring out what failure looks like, you know, for me, not for somebody else. What success means for me, because I think unless we define it, we're just trying to live up to someone else's idea of it, and that's just creates more pain. So in terms of failure, how do you define it?
I like your take on it. I might lift that one. I don't really like to look at failure too much, in the sense that, okay, something big and, you know, bad has happened, and therefore I'm just going to dwell in it, or I'm going to give it any credibility or weight. I look at it like they're all learning lessons, and I have been very blessed that I haven't had any, like I said, any major losses or any major setbacks. But the little ones that I have had, they've all allowed the beautiful growth of optimism from myself, and also opportunities, key learnings to be taken from them. And now as a mom, I think previously I was really naive to when stuff came up that I didn't succeed at the way that I was taught to succeed at. And now I can look at it and say, well, does it matter in the scheme of things? Like, it doesn't really matter. There's bigger and more important things out there to worry about. Yeah, I've had fantastic support from my family and from my friends. And yeah, I couldn't pursue my passion if I didn't have that to start with. I guess something which comes up for me when I think about moving from fear into that place of love, or from failure and learning from the mistakes that you make and turning them into something positive. And if we stay really true to our intentions, and as my coach Lisa Fitzpatrick says, she says, like, benevolence wouldn't be so cruel to us to not fuel our missions. or to not help us succeed on our missions when our intentions are so pure. So, yeah, I kind of like to think of that as, you know, a nice mantra for me to just sort of recalibrate whatever I feel is perhaps lacking or missing in my life, without there being, you know, a need to see something tangible for me to have to go about changing, you know, like when stuff occurs, I guess, you know, confront it when that happens.
Yeah, and move through it, you know. I think that's the whole thing. For me, I guess the biggest failure for me would have been if I had stopped there, you know, if I had stopped at that point where everything was kind of turning to shit and I just sat in that space and I allowed that to define who I was from that point forward. But I didn't.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like I can't be a failure. Like there's actually no way that I could be a failure. What would be failing myself would be, you know, just running and hiding away all the time and not wanting to move through things, not wanting to grow, not wanting to learn, being really closed. I guess that would, for in my own definition, that would be a failure.
Yeah. They're all self-truths, aren't they? That, you know, they come up when they're ready to. But, yeah, I get where you're coming from with that.
Yeah. So recurring voice. We, you know, we all have the evil bitch in our head. So what does yours say?
Yeah, mine, and I've just lightly touched on already, is like, am I enough? Am I doing enough to satisfy myself and those around me? How can I do more? Am I worthy? Am I worthy of receiving? What if I fail? What if I'm not good enough? What gives me the right or the credentials to help others? You know, it does come up for me still. As much as I say I've done a lot of work on moving through that, you know, I'm still working on it. I still work on it every time I have a mini crisis or every time I feel that, you know, self-doubt rears its ugly head. Yeah, it's a constant for me to recalibrate with my mission and with my why. And that might be as simple as reading our website and just seeing what our mission statement is and just going, actually, I wrote that, I believe it, I just needed to remember it, or you know, drawing my angel cards, or, you know, connecting to source through yoga or meditation, or getting my crystals out, or, you know, just breathing. Like, often, how many times do we feel ourselves like throat breathing and, you know, not bringing awareness to something as simple as your breath and, you know, just getting deeper and down and, you know, being present in how we choose to feel is as simple as breathing, and it can be overlooked just as much. So,
yeah. And coming back to that, you know, coming back to that when we do, I mean, that's what I try to do. I'm not always successful at it, but when I do feel myself, you know, hitting up against the anxiety or the fear or the self-doubt, then I just try to come back to the breath, because it's like, in the present moment, regardless of what's going on, I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm here, I'm alive.
I'm breathing.
Absolutely.
Not consciously most of the time, but I'm breathing.
No. But I think it's, you know, life has a way of delivering us what we need when we need it. And, you know, it's sometimes it's not until we are ready to receive the insight that it wants to give us around that, you know, divinity about what we should be doing next or what we should just be sitting with, that we can actually, you know, really sit and be present with it. And I think that the more that you practice mindfulness in your daily life, the more that stuff starts to channel quite naturally.
Yeah, and like a muscle.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can start to be that, you know, that GPS for you to sort of navigate your path forward, you know, on your mission, and be able to be very fluid and okay with who you are and where you're at. And if it doesn't work, change it up, or, you know, allow yourself to be flexible and allow yourself to just at your own pace move through what you need to move through. And, you know, there are some days where I'm on a mission. We're all on a mission to change the world, and you know, we're so filled with self-motivation to do that. And then there are days where you're just like, I'm really coming up against a wall here. I'm really struggling, but I've got to keep going. I think those days are the ones where you just have to surrender and go do something for yourself, or go outside, or go do something with your kids, or go do something completely separate to your business endeavors and reconnect, and then just allow, you know, the flow of things to return gradually and naturally.
For sure. So moving more onto the positive spectrum, how do you define success?
I define success now as a desirable outcome or a positive outcome being met from really hard work. But it's also about the universe meeting you part of the way. It doesn't equate to being knowledgeable on everything or having made it. It equates to being really content with the place that you are at or that you arrive at, and especially if there is, a really positive outcome, like if it means helping someone or if it means leaving a great lasting impression or if it means achieving something that you've set out to do that you've had incredible high intention behind. You know, for me, it's as simple and as profound as birthing my daughters. Like, that's the most incredible achievement of success in my life and perhaps the lives of many others. And, there's really not much else for me that I think could top that. It wouldn't matter if I had all the money in the world or all the riches or all the notoriety. It's just about looking within and thinking that you can empower yourself to do something really incredible. And, that's my definition of success. Yeah,
that's a good one. I love it. And the last question, freedom. What does that mean?
Freedom is being really comfortable in your own skin and being confident with who you are and the message that you have to share, because we all have messages to share, whether we realize them now or we don't. It's about owning your skills and your talents and honoring the need to bring them into life and to share them with the world. It's about fully expressing all aspects of yourself and owning it, taking responsibility for it and stepping up for yourself and for your family, and also putting it into perspective. You know, we're not here for a very long time. So if we always bring perspective to everything we do, it reminds us that life is finite and that possibilities are endless. So let's go to it. Let's not allow life to just happen to us. Let's actively seek the truth within ourselves and within others. And let's actively, you know, uplift ourselves and others to the places that we're all destined to be.
That was fucking deep and profound. I loved it.
I didn't mean it to be, it's just, I didn't have that question prepared, Carly. Yeah. Sorry. You're like, freedom. Like, I almost felt like breaking out, from Team America, World Police. How they're like, freedom is and free, that song. They do the montage with Rocky.
I was kind of thinking George Michael, didn't he do freedom?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm free. Yeah, no. But, it's about owning it. It really is. I'm still learning that, I'm learning every day that it's okay to be fully who you are and not the comparisonitis and not feeling like you have to place yourself on anyone else's level, just on the level that, you interpret to be right for you and that is the universal truth.
The plug. Instead of filling the podcast with self-promotion, we're being totally transparent. Here's the plug.
You can find the Holistic Project on social media, on Instagram and Facebook. You can subscribe to our email newsletter for regular bursts of inspiration, news and updates, and upcoming event details. And that's just all the W's, theholisticproject.com.au. It's just The Holistic Project for all our social media. And, positive peeps, going down a new direction, and the blog and SOAR is specifically now for conscious mamas and their tribes. So relaunching that.
I love the onesies, by the way. I've been seeing those onesies and I'm just like, I need to have another baby just to put them in the onesies.
What size is Mabel in now?
Oh, she's like a three or something. Do they go that big?
Look, I've got t-shirts too, but at this stage we're just launching the onesies. Yeah, they're all my original affirmations and all hand painted, all certified organic. They're just beautiful.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the path we're taking. Like I said before, you know, like speaking to the struggle is really important for me in my own healing as well, and that's what the site essentially is setting out to do. So that's where you can find us. And yeah, really excited to give details to everyone about our upcoming events this year and into next. We're also doing consultation work at the moment, so we've got a couple of clients on board, and that's helping to launch or relaunch businesses or products that we align with. So if anyone's interested in working with us or to help customize an event just for you and your brand, then get in touch with us.
The takeaway: exercises or tips for positive change, sprinkled with salt and vinegar, wrapped in newspaper and handed over the counter from our special guest to you.
It's a journey I'm on, and I'm very, very humble in this right now. Still a long way to go, but you know, I do believe that we are all here essentially to help others. That's why we're placed here. And then in return, I can't emphasize enough that by default we're just helping ourselves. So I've come up actually with 3 C's and 3 P's, which, you know, mind the alliteration, it wasn't deliberate, but it's about, you know, the 3 C's are create or use your own platform. To care, create and contribute. So my belief is that it is all about giving back in our own unique ways. So the putting the Y-O-U in the unique, it's all about you. No one else can do you. Why would you want to be anyone but you? Because the world still needs you. And it's coming from a place of genuine love and care. So as long as you have high intentions and you've got a really clear objective as to how you want to help people, yeah, it's all about doing it in a loving and caring way. And the 3 P's are always about bringing perspective and purpose to everything you do and trying to find the positive to any challenge you meet, because there is always going to be a lesson in it for us. And, you know, we can more swiftly and graciously rise to our higher mindful selves. And, you know, there's a really lovely quote that I would just like to finish on that I absolutely love, and it's, because you are alive, everything is possible. I like to change this up and just say, because you're alive, anything is possible. Because, you know, we can choose what we want to be possible in our lives. It doesn't have to be everything, because that's overwhelming. We just need to choose a few things and, you know, set them on our intention or our goal list and really work hard to get there. I do believe that we are master creators, every one of us. You don't necessarily need to have a birthday in a certain year or whatever. You are a master creator, and you have the opportunity to create other opportunities that will elevate you to where you'd like to be and to places that we actually right now in this moment, we don't even realize that we're capable of being. And when we fully believe that we are capable of birthing anything that we want into existence, and we hold that intention, you know, to manifest for our highest good, which always involves serving others, then the universe will really meet us part of the way. So that's my take home.
God, you're like a silver lining. I just love the shit out of you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to the Carlosophies podcast with me, Carly Nimmo. Let's continue the conversation at carlynimmo.com. If you were a big fan of the podcast, I'd be stoked if you left a review. And if you want to hear more radness just like this, be sure to subscribe and spread the word. In the meantime, be real, be rad. Peace out.